Hello and welcome to the Best of Mo podcast. My name is Ant and I am joined with my lovely co-host Evelina. How are you doing?
Hi Ant. Oh, I'm doing amazing. You know why?
Why?
Because you and me are currently in Berlin at InnoChance 2022.
That is exciting. Finally.
Can you believe it?
No.
4 years later, finally happening.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been here for a couple of days. It's really, really good. I mean, it's huge, and just there's so much going on. So, what are we talking about today?
Well, today we have our global market director for Train Networks, Mark Gibbs, with us for a InnoChance special episode.
Excellent, yeah. Mark's a good friend of ours, and he's really, really passionate about this and knows so much. So, what me and you and him, we all discuss the trends that we've all witnessed because there's so much going on. And I mean, we're probably scraping the surface of about what's
going
on.
Yeah, we could say we've seen good 5%.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then being lost for probably 95% of the time because it's just so big. So, take a listen and we hope you enjoy the show. How you doing, Mark?
I'm great, yeah. Yeah, thanks. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm really good. How are you, Evelina?
Excellent. What a great couple of days it's been so far.
It's been, I think, one word we can all agree, exhausting.
I think, yeah, when I said I was great, I meant I'm tired.
My feet hurt and everything else.
Today is trainers.
Day three. Yeah.
And in trainers, I think everyone's feet hurts, everyone's exhausted. But it's been really successful, I'd say.
Super busy. Yeah, really successful. Some really great interactions.
I think busy is a good word for it, but not like, I mean, we've seen some stands that are just like swamped, you know what I mean, where we've had like a good flow,
yeah,
lots of people coming across, and I think there's been lots of interaction, there's been lots of different people as well, so I think it's been really important.
And we have a very open stand, which,
yeah,
I think is quite,
I think that's one of the biggest things. It's nice, like a long,
it's quite inviting.
Yeah, I think inviting is a good word. But you've been busy as well. I mean, you've been doing lots of,
yeah, I mean, taking as many photos and videos that I can possibly can. Now adding this third medium of a podcast to that. So, yeah, you can say I've been busy too. But yeah, it's been great just to watch all my colleagues in action talking about what they know best, which is rail networks.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's been the best thing is just seeing everyone. And seeing how happy everyone is. And it's been a real team effort. And everyone, you can see, has really contributed. It's something to,
Because we have such global, it was such a global outreach, don't we?
Yeah. So,
and these, a lot of our colleagues, we don't get to meet every day.
Yeah.
Face to face.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, that was the first time I've met a lot of our colleagues, especially from Asia and Australasia. So.
But Mark, was this your first time ever at InnoChance? Because it's my first time, and I know it's your first time. And
No,
I've been many times.
Many times.
Yeah. So I think this might be my fourth or fifth,
So with your previous company?
Yeah, with my previous company.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, no, I know a few people have been before, but I mean, this is my first. I had no idea what to expect. I mean, going the bit that is really interesting, just to see all the trains outside. I mean, it's just the amount. The venue's huge.
Mm. And the work that goes into shipping, I figure, these huge trains from all over the world. Like, we have CRRC from China, right?
And there's Deutsche Bahn.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, there's
well, they didn't have as far to go, but they're here.
But you're right. But, like, there's just so many different things. And it's not just, like, passenger trains. It's, like, industrial, like locomotive ones,
freight trains.
It's difficult to kind of comprehend before you get here. And people say, oh, you know, it's massive. You struggle to walk around it all in a couple of days. And you think, how can it be? You know, it can't be that big. And you get here. It takes half an hour just to find somewhere to have lunch.
So the first day me and you arrived, I walked it. We got off the train to get in and we walked there.
Yeah.
And then it was just huge.
Mm.
And then you were like, oh, we're here. And I'm like, no, we're not. We got to go down. Okay, now I think we're here. Mm. And then we got there. And then we were all sort of pumped and all good. And I went out for a wander. Mm. And then 3 hours later, I'm like, finally come back. And I remember trying to come back. And I was like, right, I know we're in 4-1.
Mm.
And I then spent, like just I just wandered. I was like, I need to go left to right, and then everywhere started to look the same. And I'm like, no, I went the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just seeing all these different businesses, and then you're not seeing like all these other places as well. You miss. There's so many areas that I've missed as well.
Inevitably, there'll be parts that you never get round. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You feel like you could still just wander for the whole day.
I mean, like materials for train seats or window seals.
Yeah.
Well, that's my plan for today after we're recording this episode.
Just to find.
Well, yeah, those obscure things I never thought of.
No.
I wanted to see.
It's not just one business doing that. I mean, they're all competing with each other. And I think another thing I realised is everyone's in their own little section, and then there's double sections and double floors.
Yeah, I think that's quite clever, you know, and not mixing up all the different types of products.
No, so everything's relevant.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. And you are in with your competitors, but that's good, you know. And we were on our competitors' stands, they were on our stands,
yeah.
And you're sort of seeing what they're doing and what their trends are and looking at our own
Well, actually, then what trends have you seen at InnoTrans? It's probably a good way to start that, because I mean this is all about what's coming up next. Everyone's showing up next.
It's got a quite a different feel to the previous InnoTrans shows that I've been to. People, you know, there hasn't been a show for 4 years, and people have developed a lot of new products in that time, and they want to show off that new product. But I think more the people there's a real look towards the future, and I don't mean just like a couple of years, but like really, really far into the future. There's a few hydrogen trains, which is really starting to gather momentum, and also Hyperloop,
right?
You know, which is. Which is an exceptional idea.
Yeah, can you explain it very briefly?
Yeah, briefly. It's a transportation system, a vacuum tube with a magnetically levitating pod inside.
So there's no resistance, or
there's no
air resistance. So that means it can go very fast.
Yeah, I think. They're looking at kind of 700 kilometers an hour.
No way.
Yeah. So that's super.
And that would be underground.
Fast. No, not necessarily.
Because it could be in like a pod.
I mean,
it's going to be in the tube overground, isn't it? Yeah.
It could be overground. Could be underground. But generally, I think overground, and it might link up on the side of motorways where there's already services there, so there's already power and what have you.
So would this be? Do you think it would be for? Continental travel, or do you think it would just be in internal travel? Do you think it's something that could spread across from Asia to the United, to America, for example? I mean, that's a huge journey, but that could be that.
That's absolutely.
That's the point of it.
And if it, you know, I think it is going to gather momentum. I mean, there's a number of demonstrators being developed in Europe and the United States, and I think it is a. You know, is going to be part of our the future of transportation in some way.
It feels almost science fiction. It does, like, doesn't it? Yeah. And I think the bit. I mean, I've seen. I mean, me and you, Evelina, we wandered around yesterday.
Yeah, we found one of these tubes.
Yeah, and the pods that went in them.
And
I mean, I've grown up reading all these things and stuff like that, and then like looking at it, you're like, oh, this isn't.
It's like a comic book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's not. It's almost like it's not even. It's not even conceptual. It's actually something that's like, oh, this is not too far in the future. I know you're saying it far away in the future, this will be like everyone will have access to it. But I mean, it's actually something that I would say 4 years ago, it would be like, oh, we were traveling tubes.
Now it's
like, oh, here's what it looks like when we travel in tubes. Yeah. And I think that's the bit that's really, really.
Yeah, I spoke to one of the Hyperloop companies in 2018 at InnoTrans, and, you know, wow, I mean, that really blew my mind. And it was very conceptual back then. You know, they're starting to gather the money to fund the early prototypes.
But you said there's numerous. It's not, and that's another thing as well. It's not just what Hyperloop is the concept.
Yeah,
really. Correct. And then there's businesses
There's like eight or nine, maybe key businesses that are moving ahead with proof of concepts.
Okay.
So 4 years ago, you learned about Hyperloop for the first time, you said, and it was at a very conceptual stage. But now 4 years later, they've come a long way, you think, already? towards.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know. There's in the United States, there's an early prototype being put together between, I think it's going to be between LA and Vegas.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we need to get there.
I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, no. I mean, but, is it to get out of Los Angeles quickly to Vegas, so, or is it to get out of Vegas back to Los Angeles?
Because traditionally, I mean, I've done that journey, and it's a flight, or you drive.
The drive's amazing,
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah. I mean, I've driven that a lot, and it's one of those things that you think it's great, and then it's just like hundreds of miles.
So it
takes forever to get there. But I mean, Hyperloop.
I flew it. In whatever, 4 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, yeah. But the Hyperloop journey.
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? Is the hour flights are the ones that are causing a lot of damage to the environment. Mm. I'm not saying long haul flights don't, but that's where Hyperloop could be the alternative to.
Well, yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing, because one of the trends that I've been really seeing is everyone's talking about a green shift and how railway has to be a part of that and can contribute greatly, and surely Hyperloop must have way less carbon emissions.
I would absolutely. I mean, you're not pushing against anything. If you just look at how much energy is being used up in different forms, and look at an aircraft, and you're just pushing it. You know, you're pushing against the air resistance.
The
whole time, jet engines, they're amazing, but they're not the most efficient.
No, they're becoming more efficient as time grows.
They're still inefficient in how they operate. So you know, having this system that is in a vacuum, you obviously have to create the vacuum, and you obviously have to power the magnets, and it's the magnets that change the changing polarities of the magnets as the pod kind of moves through the tube is how it gets propelled. So it's maglev. Essentially, maglev kind of takes it.
So I know, Evelina. I know Mark touched on something that, like I said, you've been looking at, which is the green movement.
Well, yeah.
So that's the trend
that you. We've got hydrogen trains. We have battery powered trains.
Yeah, we saw those yesterday. Yeah.
We have the tube tunnel Hyperloop concept. Yeah. I mean, for me, this is huge. And since I wasn't here 4 years ago, it might have been on the agenda already. Mm. But I mean, I think it's been propelled in the last 4 years. Yes. Definitely.
Well, conceptually, I think, again, it was. I remember going to a rail show 4 years ago, and I remember the hydrogen train was like the big thing.
Mm.
Where now is one of many, isn't it? I mean, like you said, there's battery and hydrogen and everything.
Yeah, I mean, at Rail Live in the UK, where we were this year, there was a hydrogen train that you could take a ride on.
Yeah, and that's one I saw 4 years ago.
Which was pretty cool.
But that was all. I mean, that was all very early days. So I think the green movement's a big trend then.
Yeah, because I just learned this the other day. But I mean, I'm Swedish, and in Sweden, most of our railway is electrified. I think it's around 75% of it. So, but in Europe, the average is only 50%. So the need for more green railway is huge.
Mm. Yeah,
there's a. I mean, part of the being green is not destroying something and reusing what you have already. And there's a really interesting company in the UK called Viva Rail, and they take old London trains that would have probably been destroyed and dismantled. And they fit them with battery, refresh them, they fit them with batteries, and they turn them into you know, battery powered, fully electric trains.
Well, I know they're doing that. I mean, not to jump the subject away, but I know they're doing that with cars, like the old VW Beetles.
Yeah,
and battery powered version of that. So I mean, I think me and you were wandering around, and we were like, oh, is that the hydrogen train? And it was like, oh no, it's a battery train, and it was just like another concept that kind of feels like it does make sense, but you know there's all those other questions around how that works as well.
Yeah, and of course batteries aren't, you know,
they're not the best, but it
improves the air quality, etc. Obviously there's questions around mining and how you're mining for the cobalt or whatever to get the materials to make batteries, and then what do you do
after
the batteries after their life, the useful life is over.
Yeah.
You know, so they're
I can only imagine the size of these batteries.
Well, but then a train has
more
room. And right. I mean, this is the thing as well. It's like the quite commonly with the floor could be where the battery's stored. But it can also be you've got the topped up. I mean, you've got the overhead electrics. Because the electric infrastructure still exists, it's then the battery's then used on non-electrified rail. So in the UK, for example, we still have diesel trains. Yeah. So we have third rail, which is electrified, and then we have diesel. Mm. So conceptually, they could charge and then use the power on the non-electrified rails and then come back and charge. So that means that all of that journey is now not...
Yeah, there's sort of options to fast charge as well at stations.
And that's that kind of 50% that you were... There are still parts that are not used. So that kind of job... And I mean, we have overhead lines as well. Mm. So, I mean, we then, you know, all we only have train routes that certain trains can kind of travel on.
Right.
Where Sweden, I would say Europe, is quite a lot of overhead lines. Or, I mean, I don't know where third rail... I mean, third rail is quite common in the UK.
Yeah, really common in the UK. Yeah.
I've not seen it much in. I mean, everything. I mean, even out the window now. I mean, we've got all of the trains going past which are overhead. But I would say that. I mean, the trend that you're saying with the green movement and everything, the trend you're saying with the Hyperloop. Like the area that I've spotted is the digitization of everything. I mean, it's sensors and. We're networking, but like it's networks and everything connected together and big data, little data, sensor and monitoring. I remember I'd worked on a project 5 or 6 years ago and it was, you know, looking at preemptive maintenance.
Mm.
And that was, again, felt really like, oh wow, that's really advanced. But now that's just implicit.
Yeah.
And then like digitization of everything. I think we just walked around and it's just like an entire...
Well, it's definitely one of the buzzwords.
Yeah.
Everything's in the cloud, isn't it? I mean, the Siemens stand in particular was everything. Everything is data.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to the cloud. Everything's being measured, you know. And
which is good for us because that data needs to
be
transferred somewhere.
But that's why we're seeing, I think, a lot of people through our area. And you said being advantaged with the competitors is they have drawn people to our stand, and I mean vice versa that goes, but because of that digitization movement and stuff. So I mean it's and this is just from this event, so I mean one event. I know it's the biggest one around the world, so no, I think it's been really, really interesting, and I think it's something that, I mean, I've learned loads and just exploring.
You need to be here. It's one of those things that it's
definitely
if you're working in the rail industry.
Well, no, I think
even as an engineer, you don't have to be in sales or in purchasing, you know, just as a technologist or an engineer or a material scientist or whatever you are within the industry, or even slightly outside the industry. I think a lot of other industries could learn a lot from rail.
Yeah. And what we were talking about it on the way over was just, you know, just the size of this, and are there equivalents for other industries going on as well?
Because I was asking that.
You know, and it's just fascinating. But no, I think it's been great. I mean, it's not going to be one for another couple of years.
2 years, yeah.
2 years' time.
It's every two years.
So we have 2 years, and I think it will be good. I mean, we could reflect in 2 years'
time.
Yeah,
we'll have a follow-up episode in 2 years.
Barring another, you know, pandemic.
Barring another pandemic. So it could be,
no.
It could be 4 years. But what I'm saying, it'll be interesting to see what conceptually existed now of how much it's shifted.
How much has could have become, came closer to reality in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see a Hyperloop pod.
The full pod. Yeah, because
you
were saying there was a small. We saw
it wasn't a miniature. It was just a way scaled down version, but it could fit reasonably well. I think a 2-year-old child.
Yeah, or someone laying down.
But I don't think they're the target traveler really. So
they're not the test subjects. Mm. But yeah, like you said, I mean, outside there could be a Hyperloop.
Mm. And it's not just people moving either.
It's cargo, isn't it? Yeah.
So there's business, you know, on especially through the night, when those vehicles aren't being used for passenger transportation. Well, wow.
So then you could do?
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Well, yeah,
back and forth. Yeah.
What you could, I mean, like I said, I think the three themes that we have picked up, that Hyperloop, the green movement, which I would say Hyperloop is probably much more of a greener movement, but could be powered by renewable
of course, yeah.
resources.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because it's so new, again, it will be just sensor driven.
Yes, it will.
On the train, and then onboard communication, offboard communication, and then train to ground, train to... I mean, the one that we've been seeing is the train to crane, which we heard.
Train to crane, we got pod to tube comms.
Yeah, so...
Train to crane, talk to me about train to crane.
Train to crane is just industrial, just the train that would take...
In a port terminal.
In a port. Oh, got you.
But the cranes need to sync with everything, but it's one that we've been hearing as well.
And we think it's funny because it rhymes.
Yeah, train to crane. So,
ship to train to crane or train to ship to crane.
Yeah, but all those need to communicate with each other, and the more they communicate with each other, the more that these things run a lot smoother. And, you know, so I think it's been really good. I really appreciate, I know this is, and we want to keep this one quite short, but I really appreciate your time, Mark. It's been great to see you in action.
Yeah,
meeting everyone. I mean, it's been a while. The term
king of rail networking has been thrown around. Yeah,
I'm not the king.
He's sitting on the big chair, so yeah.
Yeah, I do have the comfy chair.
Yeah, but no, I think it's been good to see you in action. I mean, Evelina, you've just done so much recording, so I mean, you've seen everyone in action.
I've seen everyone in action.
So,
and I have the proof.
Yeah, but no, Mark, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I'm really glad to see you, especially here in Berlin.
It's great to be here. Yeah. Really great to be here. Yeah.
So we've got another day of it. And then there's a day tomorrow as well. And then it's over. So we'll see you soon.
Yeah, great. Excellent.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much to all of you who've listened. This has been the Vestmo Podcast with Evelina and Ant.